This is Mile High.
Do I want to tell the story or do I want to show the message?
You've got a lot of work to do between Mile High.
The time has come where we can know.
We have a responsibility, an ethical and moral responsibility.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right,
it is not. It is a receipt for a point.
Because love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles. Thank you for joining us. And wherever you are listening and watching this from around the world and whatever platform it is, whether it be iTunes or Stitcher or Google or YouTube or Facebook, please make sure to hit subscribe so you never miss any Mile High tick. And make sure, of course, you have your dates dialed in to travel to Higher Ground, August 20th to 23rd, 2020, to join us at Mile High. The mountains are calling. You must be there. So today we are psyched to do this particular podcast with one of the few people who has spoken at every Mile High and has been on our podcast every year, a favorite of Mile High, which is Dr. Donnie Epstein. This year, Dr. Donnie Epstein will not only be doing his presentation for an hour CE as well as a breakout session, he will also be doing a much requested bonus day the Sunday after Mile High for those that want to add on, that onto the program on the chiropractic philosophy, science, and art, and having your answers possibly questioned. So we're catching up with Dr. Donnie. Dr. Donnie almost knows no introduction in chiropractic. He's a legend in chiropractic, a living legend in chiropractic history. Chiropractic history will be going down that way for sure. Practiced private practice in Brooklyn, New York, and graduated from NYCC. Developer of network chiropractic, network chiropractic spinal analysis, somatorespiratory integration, and also now epi-energetics. And so we're excited to have you with us, Dr. Donnie Epstein.
Hi, everyone. You know, these are really interesting times. One of the things I think that was important that BJ and DD both spoke about was that there's universal forces and innate forces. And this is really important. This also ties into the principle of the Triangle Life that Reggie Gold put together as a further simplification of some of BJ Palmer's principles. And it's also consistent with thermodynamics and what I call epi-energetics. So epi-energetics is the central theme of this. It's really based upon the same thing we're talking about, that you're talking about intelligence, force, and matter in chiropractic, and the chiropractic meaning of life is expressed of intelligence through matter, and the missing link is force. Force is also known as energy. Okay, that's really important. And very often it's misused, where people think, oh, I have to put a really big force into the system. And the system needs to be energized. That's what happens. And the subluxation itself is a disruption in the expression of intelligence and energy. Okay. So let's get back to this. Why is that so important? Okay. Well, epi-energetics is the conscious and ecological use of energy and information produce extraordinary. It's based upon the principle, really, of syntropy, which is reverse entropy. And I'll be speaking about that at this Mile High. And that is that everything is going from a degree of organization to less organization. That's what universal forces are. A plus B yields C. At a particular point, the equation goes in both directions. And the energy is being built up and broken down. A plus B equals C, and C becomes A and B at the same time. There's no more energy left to organize innate intelligence. That's it. So in epi-energetics, we say that when you bring a source of energy consistent with the nature of the system to any living system, it grows, evolves, coherence develops. Synergy develops. Why? Because when I talk about the second law of thermodynamics, and please don't gloss over, my highest grading college in sciences was a C. Okay, so you know that. If I would have applied to Carpenter College a year later, my grades weren't high enough for that to get in. I was a 4.0 art history major because I'm like an artist, that type of stuff. But just so I let you know, just to listen to this, the principle is really important. And that is that if you bring energy to a living system, it spontaneously grows or evolves. So entropy is really where universal forces, which have no solicitude for matter, which they work, they win. It's bringing things back, ash to ashes, dust to dust. You don't get adjusted, the world goes bust. It's the same principle, the primordial soup we're built from, with the energy, innate intelligence to organize it. I see there are different subsets of innate, each which organizes with a different amount of bandwidth and complexity. And we pretty much mathematically have analyzed the bandwidth and signal of each of these, which is really cool, making it real in your life and in your practice there. So let's continue with this. So according to the forces of entropy, what happens is when the energy is used up, it just goes back to dust again. The second law of thermodynamics applies to non-living systems or closed systems. A closed system means you eliminate all the variances. It has nothing to do with the environment. It keeps going on. It doesn't respond to the environment. It's a closed system. Living systems are open systems. So instead of entropy, we have what's called syntropy, reverse entropy. What does that mean? It means there's an innate intelligence that assembles forces so we can organize to a higher level of information and participation. And that's called life. And the Carpet meaning of life is expression of force through matter, intelligence matter. And one of the things Reggie Golden is a PhD, Carpet philosophy thesis on the trinal life was said that equals MC squared also. And what does that mean? It means energy and matter are really a function of the same thing as a function of the speed of light. So he said, we really mean energy, although Carpet calls it force. It's the same thing. It's the missing link. So when a living system happens, it has to find a source of energy. And when it does it, it builds. It grows. Tissue. Living tissue. It grows in relationships. Whatever you focus your attention on is impacted upon this. Because we interact in the world. The Carpenter techniques, unfortunately, over the years, have got so involved with the objective of the technique, even, straight chiropractic, principle chiropractic, the principle became, well, I'm going to adjust the subluxation, and that's my goal. That's your strategy. If it's your goal, you miss the whole principle. The principle of life, really, is there enough energy brought to the innate intelligence in a way that can manifest the perfection or glory of life and evolves and grows. Therefore, there's really no room for even maintenance chiropractic there. I don't mean to be insulting for people, but why do you want to maintain people? That's inconsistent with this balance between the universal forces. The more we evolve from a cellular to a multicellular to organ to tissues to a whole person to a community to the world, the more bandwidth we need, the more information we need to assess what's going on, therefore we need more information. So a vertebral subluxation is really it's a downsizing of information and energy. So what happens when someone gets ill, they go from we-ness, which is wellness, to I-ness, which is illness, is a separation from it. At that point, whatever universal forces are necessary to bring that about, they will. A virus is one of those things. They're evolutionary strategies. I want someone who's enlightened, come on, sneeze on me, come on, go. I want to incorporate it because we're made of viruses. Our cells are made of viruses. I remember one of the early lay lectures here with Reggie Gold when I was in Catholic school. And he talked about how the joints, the body is sterile, like a synovial void, joints. And why is it sterile within a few minutes of death? It's teeming with bacteria and viruses. Where'd they come from? Viruses are bits of information that somehow get their energy from living systems and take over the DNA expression. That's what they do. They take over the gene expression. But what's interesting with like the coronavirus, what they looked at, a couple of immunologists I saw on YouTube, and hopefully it's true. You looked on YouTube, is it true? Okay. On YouTube, I saw there, they went through the information that the microscopic view of the coronavirus is identical to that of a cellular exudate. Now, you know, heard of Waldorf schools, Louis Steiner, a genius at the time. What he said, which was popular at the time, conjured more with Lachamp's theories and stuff than and some other people's theories, rather than the theories of Pasteur. Pasteur initially said it's the germ that causes it. Others in the development of light, bless you, of the light field microscope showed that one organism becomes another, a bacteria, we call a virus, a fungus. They're one system that changes its morphology based upon the host. Well, one of the things that was said at the time during the 1918 flu epidemic, and I have some ideas about that too, was that viruses don't cause disease. They are the cellular exudate of a cell that is sick and dying. And it wants its information to get alive, stay alive. And the contagion was not so much that what's happening, but groups of people very often had similar environmental toxins or stresses affecting them. What's interesting in today's time is that 66% of the people in New York who were in quarantine for 2 or 3 months were the people who had been affected. And they said, well, maybe they went out many of the places where they tracked. Many of them said, no, they didn't. But there are environmental universal forces breaking us down, giving us the opportunity to develop positive survival values to adapt in a way so that we can grow in spite of the stress. Because what's the difference between dangerous stress and use stress? Good stress is how you deal with it. How you deal with it. You know, a tree is stronger because of the fires in the forest if it isn't killed. A string is stronger when the gypsy moths attack it and some learn to grow and exchange information with the root system here. We are not individual human beings. We are a sea of humanity. Now, I'll mention some other things that several of them who were frontline people researching and actually taking care of people in the front line, some in New York City, after a few weeks said, this is crazy. 88% of the people put on respirators died. What are we treating them for? We treat them from acute respiratory failure. What's acute respiratory failure? There's not enough adaptive energy for the respiratory muscles to work. And they found that these people had the muscles. Actually, many of them seemed like they were perfectly healthy. They were just dying. Did it make sense? And they said, well, maybe we're killing people by what we're doing here as a result of iatrogenic results of treatment. So what's going on? And some other researchers, probably about 2.5 months into the shutdown, were saying that what they're finding is that these people who are in the respirators associated with the virus, doesn't mean caused by, associated with, there's a difference. That these people, the heme, the iron molecule, was somehow electrically charged differently and was not binding to the oxygen. And when you force it into the system even more, it often causes heart attack or can kill people from that. Although it didn't change the way it's going. Because procedure, people aren't asking the bigger questions. You know, you're asking that. Many of your patients or practice members are asking it. So I started speaking to people who were involved, and I know some people who were the most brilliant people in the world involved with the biofield of the body, energetic field. Beverly Rubick developed the term biofield as a term and as a, probably the prime researcher on the effect of it. And actually, in 1992, there was a report to Congress on the future of alternative and complementary medicine. What's interesting is, was brilliant because she wanted to change from alternative medicine to complementary, because if it's alternative, it'll never be incorporated in the system. It was complementary, it's something else to enhance, not to compete with. Remember that when you give your talks to people. You're not against or opposing anything. You're supporting something in a higher order, which allows it to organize at a higher state. So I'm not anti-vaccine. I am pro-immunity. A vaccine may be helpful. The thought of something really was dangerous, and they could take a piece of a protein, a small piece, inject it into the person like an allergy and sensitize the person to all the toxins. I think in that case, it may actually stimulate innate response. But is it effective? Does it produce antibodies? What's going on? A whole bunch of questions have to really be asked as compared to putting toxins into the system, or a new idea of genetic, with a vaccine now, which has never been done. RNA vaccines have never worked and always been dangerous. Thousands will tell you that. They're looking now to put a piece of the virus into the cell with three needles. The middle one injects it, the other two create electrical fields, electrophoresis, which brings the genetic material and the protein into the cell. The purpose was to genetically modify humanity. That's not a vaccine. That's where there's no respect for any intelligence also. And so we know better for that. You know, when they give a thing like insulin, and most hormones, not the hormones, we'll say, for example, if I don't know the number, but it says 265 proteins in the sequence of insulin. They'll say, well, these 16 ones are the ones that are important. We'll give that to the person. The other ones aren't important. What freaking educated arrogance. So going to this further, it's important to take a look at things. When the man who discovered the retrovirus, the HIV virus, he said this does not cause AIDS. He got silenced. He was politically attacked. Because every time it says, instead, it's found in patients with AIDS because something has an association doesn't mean it's a cause. I'll get further into what we're speaking about here with intelligence, force, and matter, and the invasive and constructive forces. Only living systems which reverse the principle of entropy, only those systems have the ability to evolve and grow and become something better. That's, I believe, what BJ and D.D. Palmer were really speaking about as the bigger principle. And to maintain someone any place is a survival strategy. It's not a thrival strategy. But remember, in the early days of chiropractic, what BJ wanted to do is just find the major place I could put a force in when the system is not adaptive, so the masses could healthily move to a healthier state. Although philosophically, D.D. Palmer said that chiropractic is progressive. Now we're progressing. Even the astral plane is progressing. And the people who studied BJ's work, and Pat Sarasoli was one of the heroes of that, who helped turn my life around also in New York, Pasquale. One of the things there was that every adjustment you do changes the tone of your beingness and affects humanity, and always affects any one adjustment because it changes the basic tone of the neuroskeleton. Now, what is chiropractic philosophy based upon? If you learn the 31 step neural complete cycle, what are they all about? There's innate intelligence that communicates. It's a vibrational information to the universe. Somehow the nervous system has a resonance vibration with that. if you stress the neuroskeleton, the tension of the nerves are altered. Therefore, the way they vibrate is altered. Therefore, the communication is transference from a universal, nonlinear, multidimensional communication that goes through multiple dimensions besides the physical body dimension, which is quantum theory talks about and string theory talks about. The nervous system captures that, interprets it. It creates a mental impulse as a step down transformer between the universal wisdom, which is destructive, and the innate wisdom in all living systems and universal things. And I believe that there is innate intelligence really even in non-living systems, okay? At a lower level of residence, maintaining it in existence, because the universal intelligence is what gives the atom its character. So I think there's the innate intelligence for non-living systems also. But what I think they're really what talking about is the concept of entropy and that universal forces of breaking things down and living systems break them up, build them up. So the point is, if you want to take care of someone, to constantly be, have syntropy, constantly evolving, which is necessary in today's time, you must adapt more rapidly than ever before. We need to look at our chiropractic, our techniques, and make sure indeed we are becoming more syntropic and we are evolving. And the chiropractic, when BJ said that, you know, a slip of the sidewalk is a small thing for that person, but it's a big thing for the whole world. We have to see that everything we do is global. We need to see the interaction of living systems, and chiropractic has that promise if we take the original principles, bring it into it, our practice becomes consistent with it, our talk becomes consistent with this. So something else you might find really fascinating. Candace Pert. Am I doing good, Danny? Is this?
Yeah, well? This is wow.
Okay. So Candace Pert, you know, we need to take the idea that science, art, and philosophy are separate things and realize they're all one. And many chiropractors are great in the philosophy, don't have a handle on science. Many have science, don't have a handle on art. It is a triunity. You need all three. There's a science to philosophy and philosophy to science. Science is philosophy. Because, you know, is your philosophy quantum? Is it mechanistic? Is your philosophy vitalistic? Because that determines how you interpret it. There's an art to science. There's an art. It's all one, people. Even when you're in the flow, innately guided, it is all one. So Candace Pert wrote the book, The Molecules of Emotion. She inspired my development and naming of the WAVEN network when she wrote a paper on the somatopsychic network. See, it's not psychosomatic, but the body is the mind. And she discovered the opiate receptor sites. Interesting. Why would mammals, the only species they know, have receptor sites on their white blood cells? And receptor sites in the spinal cord for opiates, for hallucinogens. Why? That's a great question. The awakened state is a biochemical reward for central nervous system and body coherence. It's a reward for adding syntropy in the energy fields around us, impacting others. It's supposed to feel good when you're coherent. And coherent is, in the Australian Spinal Research Foundation, and Danny, we were there together, kind of blowing things away. And some great people there. Some of the people who were at that conference, Danny, in at the conference that we had at Life West, Peter Kevorky was there, right? Jeannie Ohm was there. We had, who else was there?
Do you remember? Myself, Sean Dill.
Yes.
Plauger for Gonstead. Number of people.
The person right next to us, I fell in love with him. It was great. Do you remember? So Joe Boris?
Joe Borio.
There was some great people there, all having different perspectives, some academic people there representing different aspects of the conference. and the definition being proposed by the Rubicon Schools, and Jerry Klum representing that, was the definition for subluxation was important because the idea is once you have it, all the educational techniques, everything has to be consistent research with it. And it was came out from Heidi in New Zealand, which if you don't understand the politics, seems like it could be a good way of bringing people together. But if you understand the politics of it, you realize how it's dangerous. And their concept was it was a joint dysfunction with all the associated stuff. Okay. And they wanted to have a definition. The purpose really is to direct the carpet confession and exclude everything else beyond it. That's my feeling. And we all felt that in the meeting. And we came to the conclusion, let's not define subluxation by what we think it is. Let's define it by what happens when it goes away. And that's what we suggested. Jerry Klum said, no, we have to do this. I said, listen, no. Let the researchers define it. Let us do it. I said, as long as you have a chiropractor defining it per se, it'll be wrong because we don't know enough of the nervous system and stuff, or the energy systems per se. So the definition finally came up with a loss of beingness because every chiropractor there agreed. We all agreed around the table discussed that when someone is subluxated, they have a loss of beingness. Something that's some quality that excites you in them more than when anything symptom went away, disease went away. And with that, a loss of coherence. Coherence is anti-efficient. Coherence is where the whole system functions efficiently. You take a flashlight and you put it outside, you can't see it. Take a laser pointer with a triple A battery. It go up to a satellite, go up. Why? It's coherent. That's the thing the chiropractic profession has never really had, coherence. Individual groups have had, but not together. And when you lose coherence, universal forces win, the system starts going to break down. So Candace Pert noticed by then, she said the circulating white blood cell had every one of the receptor sites that the brain has for every emotion. I mean, my God, then that means that the receptor sites in the white blood cells means the circulatory system is part of the brain. And the nerves produce more insulin than the pancreas does. Well, that means the nervous system is a gland. And since the nerve cells, the blood cells form in the bones are gland also in that area. And you start realizing it's this division of endocrine system, cardiovascular. It's a way of classifying and treating it. It's not one, it's one system interacting, and the system that everything goes through is the mental impulse, taking the universal intelligence of how everything is organized in the world, or the intelligence of the world, taking that, translating the vibration, and the factor is if there's alteration in mechanical tension or resonance vibration in the neuroskeleton, then what happens is the nerve impulse, which is a byproduct of that, a very low level, is also distorted. The big error in chiropractic is eliminating mental impulse because now it makes sense in conscious studies and turn into nerve impulse. It's just as wrong as saying that the major part of subluxation is a joint dysfunction. It is a consciousness energetic dysfunction which parallels the structural system in our fourth dimension, time, which is height, width, depth, and time. That's what it is. And that's looking at this. So one other thing with Candace Pert, she took cells, sinus cells, and put it in nutritional media. And she added rhinovirus to it, cold virus. And guess what? Rhinovirus, like the lunar module, landed on the surface of the cell, protein contracted because there's any intelligence in the system. It then injected the RNA into the cell. It took over the cell as opportunist, and the cells got infected with rhinovirus. She retrofitted and said, well, let me look at the receptor site of the husband Michael Ruff, and I've hung out with him. I did actual conference with Ken Hurt. She mentioned me in the work we're doing about the emotional subsystem of the spine in her book, Molecules of Emotion. And she said, well, what peptides would occupy the same parking spot in the cell as a rhinovirus? And she started thinking about it and realized that, you know, when people get the common cold, very often they're stressed. They are not peaceful. So she took the peptides, because each emotion has to have a peptide, which, like a bee going into the hive buzzing, it wobbles, it oscillates, and it oscillates when it entrains, or there's a harmonic oscillation between the protein and the cell, a pore opens up and enters. But you must have the harmonic, and you must have binding site in the cell. Remember, if you stretch a nerve, you alter its sensory, motor, and autonomic component. You stretch a cell, you do that, and in both cases, you change the gene expression, the protein's expression. You change the form of the membrane. Besides the biologic effect, it's changing what parking spots are and how it adapts to the world. This is a bigger picture of what subluxation is associated with. So, guess what? When she put the peptides associated with more well-being in there, they occupy the same parking spot. The cell was not able to even actually repel the virus. She related the same thing with HIV virus. And what happened is the people who were had AIDS very often had low self-esteem. They felt separate from society. Whatever a drug addict does, or a gay person in those times who was ashamed of who they were in the culture, or rejected those emotions. And she said, what are those peptides like? How do they bind to the cell? And how do we have a particular peptide that she was actually marketing as an answer for people who have AIDS? But it came out at the same time as AZT, and they did political assassination, financial assassination of her at that point. So what happened was she found out, if you take the thing of well-being and feeling really proud of yourself, I don't know exactly which peptides those ones on, it occupied the same parking spot. So think of this. Think if you have a bicycle and you want to park it, but you have so many 18-wheelers on the street, there's no place to park. This is what chiropractic is involved with, in helping the self-organizing system structurally, emotionally, in all different levels. This is the idea there. And that's with these ideas, and she talked about is somatopsychic network. I said clinically, I want to make a difference here. I want to be able to create an entrainment between the nervous system, the cells of the body, and the environment. I recognized in 1986, it was called the phasing system, the five mechanical tension patterns, and that was inspired by various things such as Logan Basic and Lowell Ward with the stressology, and watching these mechanical tension patterns and watching what people said, what they talked to me about. Thermographic patterns, different patterns, Atlas temperature fossa, structural patterns. I found five basic patterns of neural tension patterns that altered the way a person experienced the world, reacted in the world, the emotive strategies, etc. That became some of the early basis of network chiropractic at that time, looking at those patterns consistent with it. When I started realizing in more areas that consciousness is associated with entrainment, the oscillation between neural centers. It creates a field that basically goes beyond time and space with consciousness. You know, when you move your hand, you know it is, but where's the intention of it? It's not in the body. And researchers have spoken about it someplace else, but the body receives it. Now, when a subluxation occurs, the body binds energy, distorts its mechanical sense. It distorts its perception, its behavior, its final structure, cellularly, the way you, at all different levels. Information about your past is bound up. You have an experience that goes on. And you're attacked or beaten or assaulted by a man who's wearing a blue suit, driving a red sports car, or wearing Armani cologne. You don't know why, but as your body said, it gets self-luxated, it says, we can't deal with this information. It interferes with your identity, sense of self, or it's too much information. We can't deal with it. So it locks up at that point. The real story about the trauma is distorted, and you remember the most worst way. Why? Because the amount of energy available determines how much organizing energy you have, what thoughts you think, what disease you have, how the body forms. Because all disease is an adaptation of the body trying to stay alive at a lower level, reducing opportunities. So your thoughts reduce opportunities. You get upset. You're black. You're white. You're Republican. You're this. Hey, hey, I do this technique. I do this. It's all civilization, people. It's all where now you don't have enough coherence to function. You go to lower state and you start becoming entropic. It shows up in your relationships. It shows up in your business. It shows up in your health in all ways. That's it. So I started saying that I want to develop more coherence in the central nervous system. The article we developed on coherence in the wave and network and the rocking and the vertebrate, which is the evolution of the network spinal, the new evolution of it. The research looking at this, what it really talked about, every bit of it, is higher levels of organization nerves have ever seen before. And if you have one person on one table, their mathematical spinal signal shows up on the other, and the rock and the vertebra shows up across space.
There's an important thing with that that I'll mention. Chiropractors have said and taught, as the focus is, we want to remove interference. However, that's about removing and getting rid of something. What actually is the opposite of there being interference, which would be a state of coherence,
which is associated with beingness? Yes, and that should be measured.
Right. That's, you see, yeah. What are you producing by how you're intervening?
And the thing is, we don't want to remove interference at all. Okay. Because interference is different things in physics. Interference means the blockage. Okay. The blockage. Right. I know this is, the carpenters don't want to hear this.
I know where you're going.
They said that the subluxation, they believe, is an efferent effect. And that's the only mistake ICBJ made. It's an afferent effect, mostly. So that the rest of your perception of the spine is off. It's a primal strategy to protect you from information that will overload your cerebral cortex, freak you out, and put you into stress response. The challenge is, once it's there for a particular period of time and other changes do not happen, or you're living more at a natural order, so to speak, what winds up happening then, it becomes, the cure becomes the new disease. And what happens now primitively, like, so a person can have a fever and they could die from the fever or diarrhea because the attempt to cure, if the body can't self-regulate that time. So what happens with this is a subluxation is a means of taking this condensed experience that you experience that you cannot experience. It fragments it. Memories and traumatic memories are not stored in the body. It's in this energy field, the cloud around us. The nervous system's role consistent with 31 complete principles. Nervousness role is to interface with the vibrational information of a consciousness that exists all every place, universal wisdom, and to bring into the body. But the thought you think, the disease you have, the manifestation of the life in every area, which you call to reality, is a function of how much energy is available for that nervous system to assemble higher bandwidth and a bigger perspective on the world. That's what it's really about. That's the whole idea there. So with this in mind, I said I want to develop spinal oscillators. And I found out when two neural centers oscillate, vibe together, something a field of influence happens in between it, which produces what we call consciousness or thought. Now, what happens, for example, Charles, you get really pissed off at somebody, you hold a grudge at somebody. 10 years ago, this happened with the person. Gee, I have an old athletic injury is coming back 15 years later. What are you talking about? An injury can't be back because, you know, every 2 years, every cell is new. The connectors are replaced 1,000 times. The atoms within a lifetime are replaced kind of zillions of times. I mean, more times than the throws her prints up money. But it just keeps producing. Nothing was there. But there is an energy information imprint that's translated by a nervous system that's locked. So what happens is when those patterns occur at a lower level of function, it produces a pattern that binds energy in the system in a particular sound, so it survives. Survival strategy. And now what's attention deficit? A system gets too stable as it is. At a lower level of information energy, and it's on the one track, it doesn't go to the next track, it stays there. It will not be interrupted. It doesn't get out of the pattern. If you run across the street, the heart accelerates. You come back, it sets up. What happens when you run across the street, it can't get out of that pattern. All disease, basically, is a fixation of an information energy pattern at a certain level of survival that is allows to survive but not thrive. The chiropractic adjustment hopefully allows the system to observe itself as a result of the adjustment, create novelty in the system, and while it's distracted, it goes to a higher order. That's the eureka that someone gets, oh my God. So what happens is it is a system that's too stable. A person wants certainty. They want safety as compared to a more alive system, which requires what? More information, and to organize it, more energy. But the energy information has been bound up. The body is in trauma. I have post-traumatic stress disorder. You have post-traumatic growth disorder because the subluxation, the body cannot get the nervous system to be able to experience a greater range of its experience. So now this person, now all of a sudden, every time they smell perfume, they get ill. They are afraid of a sports car, they won't get into it. Or men in blue suits stress them out, or like asthmatic attack. As the care occurs, chiropractic care that is really organized greater coherence, those pieces break apart. You can now look at the film on the editing floor and say, wow, the wound becomes a gift because I can now deal with information at a higher perspective, more bandwidth, and realize what the worst day became the best day. I wanted to understand how that happens with chiropractic care. And I do that with network. I do it with my somatorist for integration, 12 stages, 12 stages of healing. It's not chiropractic, no. But it's helping the person to be able to be aware of the body and allow the innate forces to organize. And I will develop system after system after system consistent with this principle. Because the principle is sacred.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So in answer to the question you asked, Danny, in today's times, the virus, or the cholera virus, if it is a virus, oh, by the way, so what else, going back to this, I was looking at the literature, what else that we know of now alters the heme or iron molecule in a way that it can't bind with oxygen. And they find that the 60 hertz frequency, the 5G network, produces the same effect. I'm not saying cause, the same effect. And it actually opens pores so viruses go in and out more effectively. Yeah. And every virus is associated with consciousness. What I believe the consciousness of that virus in the world is, I'm alone. I can't make it through. I'm going to die. I can't breathe. That is the whole role of the chiropractor in today's world. And you know what? Masks, there's been no evidence that they're true. Actually, when you wear them, if you're a respiratory virus, it is a respiratory virus. And if it is a virus, it's a whole other thing as compared to exudate. What happens is this. When you wear a mask, or first of all, respiratory virus, you want to be outside. And you want to connect to as many diverse people as you possibly can because that's what primes the immune system. Even if it's not that virus, if it's responding to something else, it's awake, it's alive. If you're having fun during the time, the body responds differently. Fear shuts down the immune system. You go, instead of parasympathetic, where you're chilled out and now you increase oxygen. What is the vagus nerve? It slows the heart down, increases oxygen. The vagus nerve also, at the sulcus of Atlas, the vagus nerve also is responsive for social interactions and controls the entire freaking immune system. Hello, make sure that upper cervical spine is affected. Make sure it's doing well with this. Make sure I can't breathe is what they're saying. What we're looking at is polarity, lack of coherence in the system between people, between chiropractic people and people fighting whatever it is, the violence being produced by another group of people because they're being used as universal forces to make us question every system. I promised people decades ago, you remember my talking about Danny, about there being floods, there being earthquakes, yep. Sort of political economic system changing the earth. Because as we get to this next tier of consciousness, who I believe we're around and chiropractic is born for. I believe the visionary BJ and DD had the principles for it, but they got trapped in survival in the culture themselves where they couldn't breathe, so to speak, there. And what it's about is that at this new shift, we're going to innately guided things where the energy, the physical bound energy is no longer the source of energy used. We use bound energy. We have to go from a wound to a gift. This toxic element is what happens in our life and being. We breathe fossil fuel. This is a toxic element. We eat high in the food chain. This is a toxic element. 80% of the rainforests are being cut down so we could have beef. Just get this. And with it, the diversity, innate diversity, because I want to have my meat, my protein. What about the larger system we're part of? I'm not getting it wrong, but we have to realize the larger system we're really part of. Now, for example, we talk about the pollution in the earth right now. I'm reading some articles with this earth changes, how it just seems to be associated with the iron on the earth being magnetized a different way and the earth losing its magnetic core, which brings us to our parasympathetic center core. Maybe it's the network of those satellites. Again, is it wrong? Nature doesn't make a mistake. Whether we'll be around is another story. We need this care is so essential that we really provide for people. Now, I want to get back to the story here. The larger system is pulling the strings. The spinal structure regulates the consciousness we can bring to the world and how people respond to us. It's a different. And right now, so what's happening is there's a change. And either the larger system brings universal forces, which is doing, to political economics is doing there, to drop us into the dark ages until educated gets informed by innate more, or with the greatest renaissance. To do that, our chiropractic care has to change also.
So please, I have understand. To say, if this is just a taste.
Oh, we haven't gotten there yet.
If this is just a taste of the bonus day with Donnie after Mile High, it will be huge for the chiropractors that are there, more importantly, for the practice members that they impact.
We are information systems. Think of us as information systems. And our systems must upgrade us because we didn't need the upgrade before. We didn't need it. Because nothing much changed in the world. The roles were the same. People are staying at the job. They stayed in the same job for most of their life. If they left one professional job, what's wrong with them? Now if they stay in there, what's wrong with them? Okay? You had all the systems that are changing globally. Epigenetics deals, epi-healing is aspect of healing that understands this. Network is under that division. Epigenetics is about the energetics of the whole world. And I'll tell you right now, some of the greatest world leaders are being coached on the change in the world, the energetics of it. And it comes down to coaching based upon the trying to life the carpet principle. Are many of them getting care? Some are. Others, no. But right now, be aligned with the principle and that changes things to begin with. So now we're moving to a different system where the immaterial becomes important.
Excellent.
Coherence is center, and the mental impulse and the chiropractic philosophy becomes a philosophy of life for everyone, rebuilding business systems. So now the innate syntropic things can build up. Our techniques have to evolve so we create syntropy
and
create coherence.
Palmer called it a law of life. Thank you, Don.
Life College is not just about dropping the keys. It's principle life. By the way, my initials are DE. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast. Thank you for joining us at Mile High. Remember, never miss any Mile High Tick. Subscribe to the podcast and join us on Higher Ground. MileHigh2020.com is where you can reserve your seats. Make sure you add on the extra day with Donnie.
On that last day, people have asked, there are so many things Danny and Rochelle and others said to me, you know about chiropractic. You've been teaching network and you have a specific application of that. There's so many things, you know, science, art, and philosophy on every area, whether it be from pregnancy or child care or how to help people, certain crises, different things like that. The science, the art, the philosophy, the communications about healing. This is a day, everything you wanted to know about chiropractic and healing and had no one to ask or didn't understand what they're saying. To make it real and practical, it's not about network, although networks included, it's the bigger gestalt of the gifts and wisdom of chiropractic that people have to hear, regardless of what camp you're in.
Be there, for sure.